B-Pod Studios.
Now, more Touch Rich. Touch Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Touch and Rich. Follow Joe Murray.
Did you say at Joey Murr?
Joey Murr. Follow him. You can follow the show on Twitter at Toucher and Rich, on Instagram at Toucher and Rich. Rich runs those accounts. I am at Fred Toucher on Instagram. I occasionally put something on Twitter, but Instagram is my preferred manner of social media.
There is a mastery in a certain type of music, and that is butt rock.
You know who loves butt rock is our own Joe Murray. He was just off the air talking about how fantastic, what a fantastic experience he had at a Creed show.
Well, then he's going to kill in this game, because the reason this came up is that we had some new music beds coming in and out of commercial, and there's been this strange influx of butt rock, and maybe Joe Murray had something to do with it. But, I mean, listen, there's the one thing you can say about it is that there is a formula, and God knows we've played the one of the two Nickelback songs, the left speaker and the right speaker, and they're the same song.
Yes.
But the one thing, though, is I said earlier, I don't really pay attention to lyrics in most songs, except for butt rock songs, because to be quite honest, when it comes to the Nickelbacks of the world, their songs are either, the lyrics are either nonsense, or it's about getting it on. So here's what I've got here. I'm going to read you the lyrics to a Nickelback song, and you tell me whether it's a real Nickelback song or a fake one, okay?
Okay. All right. If it's real Nickelback, the band from Vancouver, British Columbia, or if it is a, it's something that Rich has just invented.
Okay. All right. Let's start with song number one. One step, two step electric slide. Red fish, blue fish, blow your mind. Engine, engine number nine. Mama's going to let you set the moon on fire.
Ooh, not only is that very elementary, it doesn't rhyme at the end. there's no way you made that up. I'm going to go, that's the back. Oh, yeah. Chad, what are you doing? Shush. Oh, guys, Chad's, the bus can't leave. Chad's at it again. He's got out. He's sitting in front of, he's studying. Oh, man, redfish, bluefish, man.
I wonder if Avril Lavigne wrote that one.
Listen, don't you bring up my woman. We might be divorced, but I still love her.
All right, is this a real or fake?
I blew more on Roman candles that night than you'll ever see. Once she said I do, woohoo!
All right, real or fake Nickelback lyric? Guess what I'm going to do? Yeah, I'm going to give it to you. Are you ready? Here it comes. Oh, yeah.
All right, because that's bracing the woman for the sweet, sweet love injection. I got to say, that's Nickelback, that he's saying that, hey, well, all right, brace yourself now, honey. Here it comes. No!
Guess what I'm going to do? Yeah, I'm going to.
Yeah,
that is Richel back, and
that could have been.
I'm touching your butt.
Well, you know what? I already know you're touching your butt because you're in front of me in the line for the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Sure.
And you already have your hand in her back pocket.
It's where the PDA happens the most, at the amusement park.
Oh, there's nothing worse than
rubbing each other.
The little skinny guy with the big fat pig, and he's just rubbing her back like there's no tomorrow. Ah, I can't stop touching you. And it's just that feeling that it's this feeling I get in my body when I see it. What? Stop touching her. Will you just stop it? Stop touching her. Stop it. Would you stop it? What do you got to touch her so much?
Mm-hmm.
And she, oh, man, baby, you're getting me all moist.
Touch your butt.
You're getting me all moist. Yeah, baby.
All right,
I'm going to nail you after we get off this Tilt-A-Whirl.
Real or fake Nickelback lyric? You tease them all by sucking on your thumb. You're so much cooler when you never pull it out.
Because
you look so much cuter with something in your mouth.
Well, I don't. I hope that's not Nickelback, and I hope you didn't do something about that. It's so.
Oh my God!
That's a new Burger King commercial.
That was.
Look at her! She's eating that burger. She's got crap thrown in. Now she's talking.
That was the older days of Nickelback. I think pre-2010 era.
Oh, baby, my baby can't stop eating. She's got so much slammed up in her mouth.
She won't stop shoving her fat face. She wants to eat all the food in the place.
I'm a worried she's gonna get sick. Blood's coming out of that chicken. It's kind of weird. Salmonella. I'm worried about the after effects.
All right, Fred.
I know she's lactose intolerant, but she keeps shoving ice cream in her mouth. I want to roll down the windows in my car, but it's too cold outside, so I'm going to have to sit in a big thing of farts.
All right, Fred. Real or fake Nickelback?
I know you're leaving now because you got diarrhea. You should have ate all of that Sunday.
All right.
Anything on Curvy Mary at all?
Oh, Curvy Mary. I know why you're so curvy. Quit eating so much. You're making us all sick. I know Denny's isn't all that expensive. Quit pointing at the menu. They stop bringing the food. It's getting kind of gross. There's a reason it's a sin.
All right, Fred. Real or fake Nickelback song? I will show up at your abode and hand you some flowers that I growed.
Boy.
Ritual Duck or Nickelback?
Would they admit to gardening is the thing? No, Nickelback does not garden.
Let's take a listen.
I will show up at your abode. Hand you some flowers that I grow. But when you look the other way, I'll use your bathroom and I'll spray a 10-pound dump in your commode. I'll bring you out to somewhere sweet. I'll pay the bill cause it's my treat. But the second we get home, my ass is sitting on your throne and dropping 30 pounds of meat. Well, that's just toilet humor. It's Nickelback would never go that far.
Taking a dump at a girl's house when you're on a date.
Game of Thrones.
Do you like the Game of Thrones? As a matter of fact, it is.
Can you answer the question, the time it takes for the toilet to refill?
That would be a question. All right, real or fake Nickelback lyric. I'm loving what you want to wear, wondering what's under there, wonder if I'll ever have it under my tongue.
Not the Nickelback song.
So he would put the undergarments under his tongue, like a tab of LSD.
Yeah.
Right.
He would let it dissolve under his tongue. Okay, let's hear what he has to say.
I'm loving what you want to wear, wonder what's up under there, wonder if I'll ever have it under my tongue.
Oh, it's so naughty. Lyrics like that. I mean, it's like, Cyrano de Bergerac.
So I wonder what happened to his hands. Maybe he's got two other ladies in the place.
Not quite sure. Mm-hmm. All right, real or fake Nickelback lyrics? Hey, I'm driving down the road, just trying to unload, when this person's voice comes on that makes me just want to explode.
I have a feeling that's you. I'm going to say that's not Nickelback.
Let's take a listen.
Hey, I'm driving down the road, just trying to unload, when this person's voice comes on that makes me just want to explode. This nerd was sent here from the devil's, got the voice of Steve Urkel and the face of an eagle. He shut up, he's just a giant tool.
How could you put that when he's got COVID?
How can I do that? I don't.
He's convalescing at home.
Well, he's gone.
How could you play that while the eagle is, his wings have been clipped by this this terrible virus. While he sits at home waiting on pins and needles to see if he has COVID, here you are writing these songs, making sport of him. How dare you?
Dan wants to know if Richelback's going to have a Christmas album. We have to work something out. I might have to call the boys up from Canada, see if they can back me up. We'll see.
There's an attack on Christmas. I don't have any evidence. There seems to be a lot of decorations, even though people are saying I'm not allowed to say it. I said it a couple times, and no one seemed to care. I'm kind of weirded out why this is on the news. It almost like someone made it up. I'm married to a Jewish chicken. None of her friends care. When we talk about Christmas, it's not like they didn't know that it exists. It's not like when you say, hey, Santa Claus, that's just saying you gotta be Christian.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
Is that what it is?
Yes, there's this inventive war on Christmas that I'm not sure when it really existed. I live in Newton. No one seems to care. When we put up Christmas lights, it's not like they're mad. At least they don't tell me. That's my war on Christmas song. There seem to be a lot of Jews. They don't really fuss when we put up stockings.
I'm witnessing this. This is great.
The town, right. the town is, they say, no Christmas lights. They say no Christmas lights. Have you been to any city recently at all?
They do have Italian stripes, though, going down some of the streets.
Now. Oh, they have okay. Christmas. Everyone loves Christmas lights. I don't care what your race, religion, or creed is. Everyone loves Christmas
creed?
Lights.
Somebody say Creed.
Yes. Joe Murray said it.
Went to a Creed concert. Jerry Cantrell opened up for Creed.
Well, I mean, that's why you go, and then you leave when Creed shows up.
No, I got to tell you.
Sell his soul for
they
that.
Were good.
I did
go to a Jerry Cantrell concert once at Lowell, and Nickelback was the headliner somehow. Literally, they opened up with a song. They were wearing that dumbass hat. And I left.
Don't make fun of my hat. It says Don Siegel's. Don't you get the joke? There's fake poo on the brim.
What?
That's his hat, Darn Seagulls, and it's got a fake poo.
Oh, Darn Seagulls. Yes. Okay.
You're yeah. like one of those dumb big
I'm
rodeo hats.
Stupid. I'm making fun of my friend. Come on, laugh now. What do you think? You're better than me. Let's get in a fight. It's called my hat.
Someone said Fred's band could be Harry back.
Hey. Now you've gone too far.
Guess what yeah.
All do. Right, we will be right back.
Give it to you. Get ready. Here it comes. Oh, yeah. I want to touch your butt. I want to touch your butt. Your big old flapjacks. I'm going to touch your butt. Get ready for my hand. It's going to touch your butt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
To the show all over the place. How you listen to Get 98.5 Sports Hub app. Do it now. Pick up the phone. Rub it, hey baby. Call in 617-779-0985. Let's pretend we're Bubba the Love Sponge. Yeah, what are you doing with that phone, honey? Stick it in your pants.
That was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard on the radio.
Stick it down your pants.
I just remember one time, I was like, hey, there's one woman called. It's like, hey, put it by your butt. Let's see what your butt sounds like. And I'm like, huh?
There was something really fun about the days when you would have, like, naked girls in studio, but that was obviously self-indulgent. Not sure how it was for the listener, but it was fun. But the whole idea, and I know when Stern did it 35 years ago that it was interesting, but there comes a point where you're like, hey, baby, wait, you sound hot. You sound hot on the phone. Dude, I'm seconds away from seeing illegal stuff on the internet. Let's not act like her rubbing the phone on herself is doing anyone any favors. All right. Well, Ben Volen is the place to go if you love pornography. And he, on his Twitter account yesterday, had up MI Betts did a thing where they polled over 5,000 people and they asked the fans who complained the most. And I'm a little disappointed by the showing here by your New England Patriots because they came in second.
Oh, to who?
To Dallas. Now, Dallas has fans that are annoying because they're just Dallas fans for really no reason. Dallas has the most no reason fans of any. They're the, like, Walmart fans. You know how, like, we'll play fine bomb calls from Hicks and you'll go like, well, you know, they don't even have a middle school. They didn't finish middle school, let alone go to Clemson. And Dallas is kind of the same way, is that people just, for some reason, and I understood in the 70s and stuff.
I was just going to say, it's of all ages, too. I mean, yes. Baby boomers, a large, large section of baby boomers became Cowboys fans because they were on TV every week throughout all of the 1970s.
Yes. And so, you know, everyone would have their Staubach jersey or their Danny White jersey. A lot of Danny White jerseys growing up.
A backup quarterback.
Well, he was a supplemental draft pick, John. They gave up a first-round pick to take Danny White while they had Roger Staubach.
He was the punter and the backup quarterback, and people had uniforms with his name on it.
Danny White, when I was a kid, was like the jersey. Like, everyone had a Danny White jersey.
Oh, man.
Not like at school or anything, but just when you, the rare instances where I ventured out of my, you know, town, of my, there are cities in Michigan, but my, ventured out of my city.
Yeah.
There, the Danny White jerseys, as far as the eye could see.
Everyone could name, what, 14 players on the Cowboys?
Oh, absolutely.
Because you saw them.
Yes.
On both sides of the football.
Well, they were America's team.
Cliff Harris, the strong safety. Yes. Well, they were America's team.
They were like the Cubs and the Braves, CBS, always on television.
There. Well, no. Right.
Except they were good.
And the other part of it was there was no TBS, no TNT, no regional network. I mean, there were three channels, and the Cowboys were on one of them every weekend.
Well, Wednesday night was my football watching because it was inside the NFL where they actually showed long highlights, and so I have Betamax tapes. They've mostly been taped over with softcore pornography, young lady Chatterley, a Black Emmanuel, and the like. But because I went and had all the Betamax transferred to DVD, which is now obsolete as well, but I was disappointed by how little Jet highlights were on there. But the New England Patriots coming in second, which is disappointing because Patriot fans, everyone knows, are by far the most annoying of all the fan bases.
Well, the top five is complicated because the Dallas Cowboys, New England Patriots, okay, fine. And matter of fact, the reasoning that they used or the top annoying habit for both was using victim mentality. The Buffalo Bills coming in third, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't see them as a whining fan base.
No, they seem realistic. The only thing Buffalo whines about, and I get it, being from Detroit, is that Buffalo, they defend the city, even though it's fairly indefensible. But they do defend the city, because Buffalo really isn't a place I'd live.
But I don't consider that complaining. Like, you see what I mean? Like, as a matter of fact, they said their top annoying habit is complaining on social media. The stuff I see on social media about the Buffalo Bills fans are awesome.
No, they're defending the wall on social media. Anyone who takes a shot at the Bills, you know, gets an overwhelming response from Bills Mafia.
Yeah, they attack. But they put their money where their mouth is. You can't say they're pussies hide behind the keyboard.
No.
Bills fans will fight you.
Yeah. I like Bills fans. Like, that's like one thing about that fan base or that team that I respect. respect. Fans die hard. As bad as that team has been for so many years, I'm with you.
But I'll tell you this, is that if you go to a Bills game and you sit amongst the people, like, because for a very reasonable price, it was advised to me by Bills fans and then reiterated once I was at the game by people I didn't know. You want to get into the Jim Kelly Club, because the Jim Kelly Club is basically the club section. It's huge. It's like the whole middle of the stadium. And they're nice there, but you're going to have to avoid a fight if you're in the general population at the Bills game.
It's like being dropped into the middle of the movie Gummo.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there. It's like, all right, because who are these people and how do I survive?
Because what's cute on the internet is very real in person. And
that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, they want to fight you.
Sure.
Like, they go to fight. Mm-hmm. Seeming like you would meet these people on a Sunday in, you know, August, and they'd be the nicest people in the world. But at a Bills game, they've come there to get effed up and fight. And so they really do want to fight. And and they try to lure you into a fight by showing their balls, as I've told on several occasions, dangling them out of the car windows and, you know, everything else. And it's funny because you go in, and as you get closer to the stadium, obviously the parking gets more expensive. So we parked in someone's lawn, and then walking in the ball story, everything I told you. But, like, it's a wave of, like, danger, and it gets less and less dangerous the closer you get to the stadium. And then once you're in the stadium, I told you we got into the Jim Kelly section, and my friend had a Jets jersey on, and the guy, and one of the, this guy comes up to me, and he goes, "Hey, guys, are you enjoying yourselves? Like, oh, you made a good decision staying up here, not down there with those animals." And we're like, all right, good. The Bears, I don't even know anyone who cares about them. They're at four.
I don't know why they're
not. The Eagles is just like something that people say.
They deserve it.
Well, I don't. But the Eagle fans,
they get riled up about everything.
But the Eagle fans are also realistic in that they know sucks just around the corner. See, Patriots fans and Dallas fans are that kind of annoying, especially Patriots fans, which is why it's going to be interesting now that they're going to get more and more mediocre, is that there was that arrogance in complaining about nothing. Like, the stupid clown nose Goodell shirt, go screw. The Goodell hates us. Go screw yourself. Oh, the Deflategate. Oh, shut up with that. It's so annoying. No one liked it. And no one in retrospect goes, remember how much fun that was, all the Deflategate stuff?
Yeah.
It was something that existed and was terrible while it was going on, but people didn't realize it.
Eagles fans can complain. They can. I have knowledge of this.
They complain about the team, though. It's not that someone else is out to get them. It's the team. And I'm all for complaining about officiating.
That's true.
I mean, you can complain about officiating all day.
Well, that was apparently their top annoying habit for the Eagles, was bad officiating.
Yeah, because you can complain about the officiating. It's the victim mentality that is was super annoying about the Patriots, because it was very unique in that I can't think. It's like Montreal-esque, like Canadiens fans. Patriots fans were a lot like Canadiens fans, as much as they're going to hate to hear that.
I refuse to make that comparison. Canadiens fans are awful.
Patriots fans during Super Bowl runs were complaining that the league was out to get them.
Well, I mean, when you have draft picks taken away. Now, it was their own doing, but, you know, and Robert Kraft decided not to pursue legal matters, and then Goodell just took a steaming dump all over that. When you have a franchise that's had draft picks taken away, and, you know, the NFL has come down hard on them more than once. You know, Hall of Fame quarterback got suspended.
This team is going to become a lot more likable, and New England fans, obviously Boston fans, because hippies in Vermont and things are going to ruin everything. But in terms of Metro Boston Patriot fans are going to get cool again, because it's going to be a lot like Bruins fans and Red Sox fans in that it's going to be...
You strip away all the, for lack of a better phrase, the pink hats, and the core group steps up and stays relevant.
The word you're looking for is entitlement.
Yeah, you get knocked out. Because you're going to get...
The entitled fans will disappear, and then the core fans will step back.
I get that, and it's more fun to be a fan of a team like that, you know?
We shall see, because, you know, this team's not sniffing a Super Bowl anytime soon, and it's going to be interesting... That I enjoy. That going into these games now, I used to hate the Patriots. Even though I like the Crafts, they've been nice to me. And I like, you know, the players have always been pretty cool, but the whole Deflategate thing, I hated them. And now I don't anymore because it's interesting. Every game is interesting, especially now that you've crapped yourselves against such a bad team in Denver. You know, there's questions. And I like the idea that for the first time ever since I've been even aware of the Patriots outside of the 85 Super Bowl or the, you know, when I was in college and they played in the Super Bowl and I was too drunk to care, the you now it's the game, do you play for now or the future? Now it's, you know, do you sign a guy long-term? Do you sign Cam Newton long-term? Do you want to get under that kind of salary cap restriction? Do you want to give up picks to get a receiver this year? Because what for? Now we're talking. Now there's a lot after the games going like, but if, what if, da da da. And these are the questions that every I like because does. Every other team has them.
Yeah.
And then it goes down into people that just don't really care at this point.
Who's last?
Last is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have the worst fan base in terms of going to a game. Tampa Bay is a violent, violent fan base and the worst because they're people from Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is real. Tampa Bay has an accent now that's not a southern accent. Do you notice now that you can look at someone and know that they're from Florida?
Really?
Like Crash. Like if you look at Crash, you know he's from Florida.
Certainly not.
Burt Kreischer, who's great and was great on the show, but Burt Kreischer, the comedian, the guy with his shirt off, he sounds and looks like Crash. Like there is
we're
that,
just playing by the rules.
Yeah, there's that. Well, that's Jacksonville, which is almost like a
that should be a separate.
That's like
thing.
The Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where they have their own language.
You can't have a newcomer right. Come in and steal a show.
Once you get north of like Palm Beach, Delray, that area, then it all changes.
But Tampa is like just felons in like sex crimes. It's
is
just
Tampa
awful.
Still pure Floridians? Because you know, as you said, John, south of like Cocoa Beach, isn't that yes. all Northerners who move down?
Yeah, Tampa. Yes. Well, yes. Tampa okay. is enough Florida that if you come in, you get sucked into the vortex of Florida. Because, like we just said, Bubba the Love Sponge. Give a gander of just do yourself a favor one day and just listen to like male oriented Tampa radio, and it's really something.
Took
to
it
behold.
To the limit.
It's really something to behold. Mm-hmm. Oofy woofy. Yeah, baby, come on. Yeah, you like that? And then I just see like picture guys in their cars on the freeway going loose like the Tubin dude from CNN. Just letting loose. This chick sounds hot. So there you go. You can check that out. Patriots fans coming in a disappointing second. And then the complaints the most of the NFL quarterbacks, Tom Brady, obviously number one, Cam Newton, number two, Josh Allen, number three. This is all wrong. Aaron Rodgers is two. And then
everything about
the field.
This list is wrong. Now, well, Tom Brady used to be the worst.
No,
like, he was so bad.
No, he's still bad. He bitches on the sideline.
He's still bad. But Cam Newton, and I'm not just saying that because he's here now, like, I haven't seen him complain all year.
He famously complained after the Super Bowl. But you go Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers in the field. You can put Newton third, but it's a huge gap after Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is human scum.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Tom Brady seems like he'd, like, help you if you were in an accident or something. Aaron Rodgers would just leave you to die. Like, I want Aaron Rodgers to lose his money. Like, Tom Brady just, I think, has been bamboozled by Guerrero. Guerrero's found a wealthy donor. Like, he's, like, hitched himself onto, like, a dummy that will go around with his harebrained schemes. But Aaron Rodgers is truly an awful person, in my opinion. And then coaches, Bill Belichick, obviously, is constantly pitching. And then
John Harbaugh, no question at number two. Yeah. Those two, then the field as well.
You keep the first letter of the first name, and you keep the entire last name, and you got yourself a coach that sucks. Jim Harbaugh. Matt Rhule from the Carolina Panthers. Can't say I even know what the man looks like.
Who's watching enough Carolina Panthers games?
I don't know.
This guy that complains the most.
Yeah, Carolina Panthers are just like, we're the 15th best team in the league, or we're the 18th best team in the league. They're just like, we're just there. Teddy Bridgewater's not bad.
Not great. Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got ourselves Anderson from the Jets.
That's right. We got ourselves 53 unrecognizable players.
Yeah.
And we're going to go out there and go 8-8.
I'll tell you, though, Robbie Anderson went there and just said, I'm Randy Moss. Don't worry about me. Adam Gase, how do you do?
Yeah.
I'm one of the best receivers in the NFL right now. I'm Robbie Anderson. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Coolio is really the worst. Coolio is just the worst.
Is this Coolio?
Well, I think this is Fantastic Voyage.
It is Fantastic Voyage.
Okay. Oh,
Lakeside's the original.
It's the original band.
Right.
It's called Fantastic Voyage, so. And so Coolio made Fantastic Voyage.
Yes.
Slide, slide, slippity slide.
Yeah, he just left basically the original chorus. I interviewed him at the Grammys, and he was getting he wanted to fight me. At the Grammys.
Coolio? Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes, because I can tell right now, you're a prick. You're an a-hole. And I'm like, uh-huh. And you're the worst rapper ever. He got mad at Weird Al Yankovic for doing Amish Paradise.
Oh,
he didn't like that.
Okay. Well, you had to get permission to do it, so he may not like it, but Coolio
claims he was not given permission. I would guess, based on the fact that Coolio was probably one of 85 writers of that song.
Yeah, that's a good point. He probably sold his soul to get that thing out there, and you're right, yeah.
The best is that, but Coolio didn't like that Amish Paradise because he thought it kind of bastardized how serious a message that Gangster's Paradise was. he had really laid it down.
Well,
Coolio was the voice of the streets.
That's right. Well, listen, Coolio is a man of integrity. I'm not sure if you remember, but during the summer, there was a Game On. Remember that TV show with Rob Gronkowski? I think might be it right here.
It is time for our next pop star penalty. Our next pop star is a Grammy-winning artist whose album, Gangsta's Paradise, sold 3 million copies. You may know him as artist Leon Ivy, but I call him Coolio!
So, it was Coolio and the dude from Sugar Ray, I think, who were the huge celebrities that they rolled out there.
And one person realizes where they are in this world and the other person doesn't. And that one person is Mark McGrath, goes, I was in a garbage band, but I get, he calls it his teacher's check. Every year in royalties, he gets $40,000 check, and he goes, God bless everyone for giving it to me. And I'm going to go out and spend it on bad plastic surgery, because that is what he has. Yes, indeed. Good old Coolio.
Absolutely. All right, so I've got a real quick. So you remember at the beginning, boy, it seems like forever ago now, before the baseball season started, the Red Sox did that thing where you could purchase a cardboard cutout and put it in the outfield, and, the money would go to charity. And so I said, why the hell not? I want to see John Wallach's gigantic head out there sitting in there. And you know what? It got on TV a couple times. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. They never ended up hitting it, which was, of course, somewhat of a disappointment. But when I set the whole thing up, they asked, part of the deal was, if you'd like, we can put a message of your choice up on the scoreboard. And I said, yeah. Sure, why not? So I just now, or just a couple of minutes ago, I received a picture of the message that they ended up putting up on the scoreboard. John Wallach, I just texted it to you. As a matter of fact, I just put it on our Twitter as well, if you would like to take a look.
Hang on. Let me unlock. I see the message there. Let me unlock the phone.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark McGrath! Yeah!
That was actually what I wrote.
Oh, God.
What does it say?
You cruel bastard. It says, That's and nice. This is on the Jumbotron, Fred. It says, get well soon, Waldick, from Dale Arnold.
Waldick, well, yeah.
How much did Dale want you to die? Or, like, get brain damage? I can picture him in between breaks going to Keith, like,
you know, I heard, you know, Rodriguez has got some complications from it. You think that John might die?
I know.
You know,
I'm sure there are stories.
It's been politicized on both sides. Some people are saying, you know, hey, don't go outside. Other people are saying it's nothing to worry about. I think there's got to be a middle where you die.
I'm sure there are stories that get swapped during the old commercial break on the midday show. Yeah.
He actually got off. He got up on his box to ask a doctor. Like
hypothetical. Guy's kid's got COVID. He's deaf in one ear, so God smited him in that way. Is there any way he could lose another sense? Because. Hey, Rich Keith, he's lost hearing in one ear. Do you think he could get the COVID? I know you lose taste and smell. Could that last forever? I want him at some point to be like the guy from the video One by Metallica.
Oh, God.
He's just SOS with his eyelids.
Oh, my God.
I wonder if he did. I bet you, I wonder if you were very, very sick in dying, if he would make an insincere overture to you to clear things up, much like Bill Murray did with Harold Ramis on Harold Ramis's deathbed. But it was not insincere. Bill Murray reconciled with him. They did not
get along. I didn't know they didn't get along.
Groundhog's Day, they had a massive falling out. They were the best of friends, and then they never they did not speak again until the right before the death of Harold Ramis.
Really? Because they were in, like, what? They were in, actually, Stripes? Harold Ramis was
in the movie
Groundhog Day. Doesn't
he
Harold Ramis?
It.
No, but he also played the role of a psychiatrist whatever. Yes. I mean, they were actually in a scene together.
And I guess Bill Murray was impossible to deal with, as is his want. Bill Murray, we're getting off topic a little bit here, but Bill Murray really has to be talented because people put up with an awful lot from him. Like, he never signed for Ghostbusters. So the day of shooting, literally the day they were starting to shoot, he showed up. And they were not, like, Dan Aykroyd was fairly confident that he was going to show. But they didn't, because Eddie Murphy had turned it down and Belushi had died. And so it was Bill Murray or the studio wasn't making it. So they had told the studio Bill Murray had signed. And the head of the studio was like, knew he hadn't, but really wanted to make the movie. So he was like, all right, I trust you guys. And at the very last moment.
Yeah.
And you know also that Ghostbusters was licensed for another thing. So they had to shoot every scene twice with it was Ghost Robbers or something like that was the other title. And then they ultimately decided not to do that. And at the last minute, got the Ghostbusters rights.
Did you hear that Bill Murray also doesn't have an agent? He just has people call his voicemail.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that, but yeah, I've heard that.
But I mean, I don't know if it's true either, but I've heard that story as well.
Because I don't think he's negotiating his own deals, but yeah, I mean, he might not have an agent, but he certainly has representation. But yeah, he didn't show up. So I'm wondering if John was dying, because usually if there's an on-air war in the past, I have and been personal in the past. I have reached out to people in both markets here and in Atlanta, and when they were going through something and said, "All right, all this."
Yeah,
aside.
when I was sick when I had my surgery last winter, I had people from the other station reach out to me.
So,
Dale?
Because
Dale?
No. I would assume Dale dies before me because he's much older. So like I would not feel the need to reach out to Dale because I've never really said anything bad about him. But if there's been a horrific back and forth between me and another person on the radio, I have in the past reached out. I've done it in Atlanta. I've done it here when they were going through something terrible. And so just to, you know, like a kind of a ceasefire, if you will.
Yes.
But I'm wondering, because you and Dale work together,
mm-hmm.
and you do hate him, and he hates you,
mm-hmm.
which I still can't figure out why he hates you.
Because of this show, he hates
me. No, but he hated you before this, because it all came up. The only reason we've ever mentioned him on the show is because of his hatred of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I can't figure out, in all honesty, why anyone would hate you.
I think it looked at John as an underling, and then John ended up coming to a station that overtook their station.
I'm not being a dick, but John is essentially an underling to me, and I don't see how you could hate him. I mean,
but he's also respected, and he's
You respect everyone. You respect everyone you're supposed to respect everyone a little bit. I mean,
maybe that was the problem.
I'm talking about hating. You don't hate someone because they're an underling. I mean, I can't fire John. I shouldn't say he's an underling, but we're the two hosts of the show, underling's the wrong term, it's not the John and Fred show, you know? So I don't know how you could hate John. John doesn't strike me, regardless of the capacity of your relationship. I don't know how you could hate him. Your ex-wife probably doesn't even hate you, does she?
I don't know. I haven't talked to her in 20 years.
All right. Okay. Well, you get on that.
I can't help you there. I don't know.
But did that marriage end acrimonious? Was it acrimonious?
Yes.
Or were you? Okay, it was acrimonious. Yes. All right. So there you go. So there was not hatred on a level of that. I don't know how you could hate John. I don't know why Dale hates him so much.
And by the way, kudos to the people at the Red Sox. They obviously know all of this. And I'm feeling there'd probably be some organizations.
Do they know?
It says Waldick from Dale Arnold. It says, get well soon. It's got your giant face. Get well soon, Waldick from Dale Arnold on the Jumbotron. They know, and they were like, oh, yeah, let's go. Well, and they still put it up on the Jumbotron. So kudos to the Red Sox.
You got a point. That deserves a small round of applause.
I don't know if they know.
Very good. I give them all the credit.
If you think of the person who's in charge of that, it could be like an 18-year-old girl that has absolutely no idea who Dale Arnold is or what Waldick means or that this show exists.
I prefer Rich's version better.
Let's put it this way. To get something on the board at Fenway on a non-game day for 5 seconds, I don't think runs through John Henry.
It's more than that, though. It's also his giant head that was part of the package that was in the outfield that people were tweeting about. They knew.
I hope they did know. I don't know if they did. I really like your version, Rich.
It's going to make me smile later.
I don't think that message has to go up the flagpole very far.
So if you want to see what the Red Sox put on the Jumbotron for my request, you can go to @TutcherAndRich. It's a gigantic sign. Get well soon, Waldick from Dale Arnold.
Yeah.
Waldick, well, yeah.
Who I think would, I think Dale would be fairly satisfied when John died. But you have to root for John to outlive Dale because Dale is much older. Dale has got to be pushing 70 at this point.
I don't know. I don't know how old he is. I know he's older than me, but I don't know how much older.
Because Maddie's at least 70.
Yes. That I do know.
And Maddie looks a lot better than Dale. But Dale's got that youthful pudge to him. So who knows?
Youthful pudge?
64? He's only 64?
Eesh. Do you believe we could be? Do you believe Wikipedia?
No.
Okay.
Well, Dale seems like the kind of guy, based on what John says,
you can manipulate that,
that he would manipulate the Wikipedia. Lord knows I don't know how. I've tried. I haven't, but... All right. When we come back, Akib to the Talib is going to be joined.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.